This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu and it's Tech Thursday today and I'm joined with Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia. Now, you're not just covering stories in Malaysia, you're also doing stories in Singapore.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We get be there. So, which means that we, in a way, we have less stories to focus on, you know, in the week when we talk on this show, because obviously BFM is not yet in Singapore, so we're doing a Malaysian focus lah for our ecosystem here.
All right. Now, today is a very special show, Karamjit.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Because for once, I am able to tell you how much truth is there in the stories that you write and how well and how well they reflect to the interviews that you do, because I was there with you, right next to you.
Wasn't in the script, man. Come on, it's putting pressure on me.
I was there
I want Frida back, man.
I was there next to you when you interviewed John Frederick Baksas. He's the president and the CEO for Telenor. I'm actually very surprised that in your article, you didn't actually include anything about that Pakistani taxi driver, that he took a wrong turn in his decision and ended up in Norway, or even your part-time job as a professional smartphone photographer.
Oh, man, okay, we need to edit this part out. Pakistani taxi driver, that was very interesting. You're right. That's a segue we'll stay for shortly. But we'll talk about John, just because it's not every day, you know, we get to, much less me, even you, right, get to speak to the CEO of a global telco company, right?
And that was all down to thanks to the people at Telenor Group and also Digi Telecommunications here in Malaysia.
Yeah, exactly, for their, you know, Digital Winners, right, award.
Yeah.
So, excellent, yeah. So anyway, but the two of us were there in Oslo, and you're right, you were at this interview. So obviously, this was one of our key stories of the week, talking to a global, you know, telco chief. And obviously, and the other key thing when you talk with any telco, Jeff, I guess, is the fact that their revenues are being eroded by the fact that they provide access to people, you know, to get on, not just access to voice services, but access to their data services. And of course, once you're on the internet, you can go wherever you want, and you know, we all tend to start using apps. Even a slow adopter like me has increasingly moved my content consumption, you know, to app based. So obviously then I asked him that question about how that is going. And it's interesting that he straight off said that, look, Karamjit, nobody is going to be eating anyone's pie, because it's quite sexy for the media to portray that, hey, you know, all these nimble or, you know, big successful internet companies, you know, from around the world are now eating your pie, right?
Yeah.
But he says no one's eating anyone's pie because the ecosystem is growing. And he gave the example where, Jeff, that he said, you know, we provide access to people, right? They get on the internet through their mobile, and really they can go anywhere they want, and the internet companies can try to capture that business, and hey, look, guess what, so can we. And the so can we is where we spoke about, right? He said there, as Telenor Group, they're trying various strategies, but he was quite honest to say that we're still trying to find the right formula, you know, that they don't have it right yet. And I think that's a great attitude for a CEO to have, because then you're telling your people, we're trying something, if things are not working, we've got to try harder, right? We've got to make sure that we solve this conundrum, because our very survival depends on it.
And you can see them.
One of his lieutenants told us that, right?
You can see them innovating, because, you know, again, they are one of the oldest continuous telco in the world. 106.
Yeah, they are the oldest, actually.
The oldest.
Because their head of comms, when we had that nice tour, right, the day before the conference, he actually said that Telenor is the oldest continuous telco in the world. AT&T makes that claim, but he said apparently, and I haven't verified that, at some point in its early history, AT&T was not operating as a telco. So that's why Telenor is the world's oldest continuous telco.
160 years in 2015.
Next year, coming up big, man. Maybe they'll have us back there again, Jeff. That's a good idea.
Exactly. And you can see how they've, you know, sort of changed and evolved and innovate time and time again, because, you know, 160 years, it's a long time.
Yep, exactly. So it was quite interesting. So he's obviously talking about some of the things they're doing in the digital space, and he says that, you know, we operators need to become IP-based service providers too. Now, that reminded me of what Jamaluddin Ibrahim, the president and CEO of Axiata Group, said. But he used the word digital. He said his company is trying to become more of a digital company. And they both shared the same point. They said this journey is not about technology. It's a mindset journey. That you need to convince your key people and down the line that, you know, this is something they have to do, and they just have to adapt to the new mindset and not keep to a engineering telco mindset, which I found quite interesting. And of course, they've established Telenor Digital 3 years ago, right? Telenor Digital.
Yeah.
And that's acting in try to act in an internet way for people. And I know you have a very interesting interview lined up, and I coincidentally did a story on that also.
Yep, yep.
But that's all coming up next week. But again, we're just focusing on Baksaz. Then one thing people would find, and they can read the article also, is that he actually, once upon a time, was based in Malaysia, right? And it was kind of interesting that came out at the very end of the interview, that he was with an oil and gas services company. Of course, when you're Norwegian, you know, the oil and gas industry is so big there. And he happened to be based in Kota Kinabalu and also in Sarawak.
Yeah.
And I asked him what was his favorite food or how he liked the experience, and he said that his favorite activity was to chill on the beach, and I'm sure with a beer in his hand back then, and you know, and he said watching the thunderstorms play out on the horizon. This was way back in 1983. And he remember he telling us that back then when you wanted to make a phone call, you had to queue up to a fixed line, you know, public phone, and it took you what 30 minutes or 40 minutes before you got your turn, right? That was quite interesting. And now he's in a business that makes, you know, access, you know, instant for you.
Yeah.
As long as you have that mobile phone. You know, and not just mobile, not just smartphone, right? Well, while the conversation tends to be about smartphone, so there's obviously a lot of value in enabling people, you know, to access the internet through their feature phone too, and that's why they've got the Internet for All strategy, which is a Telenor strategy that DG here also is, you know, is pushing the envelope on.
Yeah, which I was just about to tell you, you know, they themselves are trying to push, you know, the Internet for All strategy because it is going huge in countries like Bangladesh.
Yeah, they're really doing well in Bangladesh. And I think he gave the example, was this in Bangladesh, Jeff, or in another of the countries, was it in Thailand or in India, where in Pakistan, I think this man was had to leave his, he brought his family to the city, but he had to leave.
Oh yeah, in Pakistan, yeah.
One child behind, right?
In Pakistan, yeah.
Yeah, in Pakistan. Okay, thanks a lot. And he was saying that how he missed them a lot, and then you know the Telenor people on the ground go out because their mission for Internet for All, they go out to the ground and educate people that hey, the phone you have in your hand is an incredibly powerful device that collapses distances and keeps you close to your loved ones. And that was a really heartwarming video, I thought. So, yeah. And they've got so many examples like that, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, just so when he's talking about no one's eating everyone's pie, it's interesting that he also mentioned, Jeff, I don't know if you remember, the Facebook founder, right, and CEO Mark Zuckerberg, who's now they're trying to deliver the internet to everyone also. That's his vision. And while at first I think it's more of an internet, you know, a company's vision, he says that Mark Zuckerberg's idea of how this will be done has also evolved considerably over the years, and there's a renewed emphasis on the role operators play in him delivering his vision. So you can tell that it's really evolving to where it's no one's going to be eating each other's pies, but they, you know, they coexist and build up the ecosystem, and they compete for the customer's share of wallet, right? So that was quite interesting.
All right. And we got to go for a short break, but before we do that, I know people should go and check out the article on, you know, on Baksaz. It's the title is Telenor Adapting to a Data-Centric World. If you don't think the topic is interesting, at least there is a picture of a girl in a really short dress, in a really short skirt that is also embedded there for some weird reason. I have no idea why.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Mr. Double A, man. He asked one about that. Hey, but come on, so you, first, since you brought it up, it was the story I wrote, I think you've read it, reflective of the conversation we had with him then?
It does. It's a very good story.
Okay. Thank goodness. Okay, I just scraped through with a C there. We'll go for the break then.
We will be right back with more with Karmjit Singh from DigitalNewsAsia.com. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. This is Tech Talk. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and I'm here with Karmjit Singh from DigitalNewsAsia.com. And early on, we spoke about our trip, thanks to DG Telecommunications Malaysia, about, you know, the trip to Oslo to cover the Digital Winners Conference. And we spoke to John Frederick Baksaz. He's the president and CEO of Telenor. Moving on, Red One winning the postpaid war against the Big Three. How are they doing this? How are they even profitable?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good question. I think that we did do some research and we came up with their numbers for 2013. But let me just say that they are profitable, and they've got a CEO there who's actually was formerly from Celcom. I think he's been seconded from Celcom. And then Farid is the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has come on because apparently the company used to be called Red Tone Mobile, okay?
Yep.
And it's owned by Red Tone International. And they are an MVNO, and apparently they were really struggling because they don't own spectrum. And it doesn't mean that if you don't own spectrum, you're struggling, right? Because Toon Talk is doing really well. But apparently Red Tone this telco called, okay, Redtone Mobile were struggling, and then it has been, Celcom came in and started running in, and they did a change of the shareholding structure also. And what's interesting here is that one of the key partners for Red One is two people who also own a company that is their largest Celcom reseller for corporate business, you know. Mm. And so you can read the details there, but they allow these guys to take a stake in Red One. So then you suddenly have a much stronger incentive to make sure that that business works, right? That is quite interesting. And then so they rejigged the shareholding structure, and then they obviously worked on the business model also. And postpaid, you're right, is very interesting. They're the only ones, according to Farid, who are successful. Because early this year, he says, Jeff, that they were achieving monthly add-ons of about 15,000 a month. And by the telco standards, that's really low. But this, when you're talking about postpaid and the other three telcos are losing, you know, market share, or they're just maintaining, you know, their market share, for someone to be gaining every month is interesting. And even more interesting is, I told you that they had monthly add-ons of 15,000 customers early this year. In August, their monthly add-ons passed 40,000. Hmm. So when you use the word net add-ons, it means minus the people who leave your network and those who are coming in, right? So every month, they have a 40,000, increasing their postpaid base by 40,000 customers since August.
Wow.
And Farid says that he hopes that by the end of this year, they can hit the 500,000 customer mark. And by the end, right now, they're about 350,000, because GoTenU did the story. And by the end of next year, they're hoping to hit 1 million. Very ambitious targets. And we just maybe quickly talk about how they've been able to get traction in the market.
Yeah.
So Farid says it's because of their consistent growth in postpaid customers. And one of the reasons is their low monthly commitment. You can actually sign up for a Red One postpaid plan for as low as 8 ringgit a month. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Very interesting. So I had one of the telcos yesterday coincidentally trying to convince me to move to one of their new, you know, innovative plans. And even at that, the monthly commitment is still slightly over 100 ringgit. And I say, I think I'll wait for my lock-in period to be over, then I'll consider, you know, how good you are. But this is, suddenly you hit someone who's like 8 ringgit, right? A month, and it's unlimited conversations and messages if you within the network.
Wow.
So, and then the other thing they're doing is that they've redefined and rejigged their sales agent ecosystem. Right now, as I understand it, does it is that, you know, if you're the reseller for one of the big four, including U-Mobile now, and you make a sale, you get a one-off commission from that sale.
Mm.
But what Red One has done is that, under Farid, he said that they change it. And instead of giving a big incentive upfront like other telcos, he said they incentivize agents by giving them revenue share. So the agents then have sustainable income over the long term, so that as long as you're a customer of Red One, you actually, a portion of your revenue to Red One goes back to the agent who sold that card to you or that service to you. So suddenly it looks very interesting, right? So it's called sustainable income. And then he did talk about the fact that they're also aiming for the IPO, because they've like got the wind in their tails now.
Mm.
And although he declined to reveal to our friend GoTenU their revenue and profit, a check on the company's commission showed that it registered a net profit of over 73,000 ringgit. Not much, but on the back of 7.6 million revenue for financial year ended May 31st, 2013. So it's been more than a year since then. So definitely all the good numbers I'm talking to you about have happened this year. So obviously you're going to see them do a lot better this year. And the fact that he's thinking of even an IPO at some point, which is interesting. And he also, Farid, told Go that they are looking for maybe Celcom to come in and possibly acquiring a stake in the company.
Yeah.
So according to Farid, Celcom only tends to come in if a company is the risk is very high. You come in at that stage where, you know, you obviously then don't pay that higher premium, or when the company is proving successful. Under his leadership, obviously, you know, Red One now is proving successful, so Celcom will probably be coming in at that stage.
Yeah. Like you said, they've got the win in their sales now. Yeah. So, you know,
And he's done well. I mean, postpaid is a really, really tough market, but he's, you know, making good headway there. So definitely a company to watch for in the telco space. And interesting enough, we've made two telco talks already far in this week's tech talk.
And we are doing this via the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, Hungry Go, where founder turns VC with a US-based Wavemaker. Now, this is an entrepreneur in Singapore who sold his company to a telco and is now going to become a VC. So is he planning on telling other entrepreneurs how he actually made it?
Yeah, actually, interesting you mentioned. He said no because, you know, you've been an entrepreneur, you've been there, and you've been through the pain. So he said that then any advice you give Jeff is real. It sounds real to the guy across there. But he said sometimes, and he's excited about it, he said you will actually learn from the entrepreneurs you're helping too. Sometimes you cannot presume you know it all, correct? Mm. And you're going to at times be learning from them. So he's excited about the two-way interaction that's going to happen. And he describes his next move as a growing phase of his career too. And it's quite interesting. And you mentioned that he sold out his company, Singtel, right? So yet another telco, you know, in this picture. But in the sense that they bought Hungry Go. Where now, Dennis is one of the founders, okay? I think there's two or maybe three of them. Mm. And he had one VC come in at the early stage, B.I. Walden. And so basically when they sold out that $12 million, I think the four of them divided up that $12 million Sing dollars between them. Yeah. And he served a further 2 years after he was sold, after the company was bought, just to help Hungry Go Where and to help Singtel no further gain traction for the company. And only this month his term has, not his contract, but his commitment to Singtel has ended. And he has picked this American VC, and I asked him why. He said it's because this company actually is very entrepreneurial in nature. The three general partners, you know, that are existing are all successful entrepreneurs in their own right before they became VCs. So he said joining this company, and I quote him, he said that I really feel at home, and I feel like I'm joining a band of brothers.
Oh.
Yeah, very cool. And I although this is a Singapore-based company, and I told you, interesting enough, we started off by saying that I won't talk about Singapore-based companies, but okay, I wrote this story because I met them yesterday. They were in KL for a lunch meeting with some VCs here. And they're also here because they said that the success of Grab Taxi, here, we know it as MyTaxi here, and iMoney, in gaining traction in the market and in helping and in bringing in more money has caught their attention, and they're saying surely there are more companies like that around. So the fund is a US fund, Jeff, $45 million US. They're trying to raise that. They've raised about half, but of the $45 million US, they're actually devoting one third of the fund to Southeast Asia.
Wow.
And within Southeast Asia, they mentioned four countries in particular: Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, and maybe one more. I think probably three in particular, but they're looking at. So it's interesting that the success of two of our companies that I mentioned has attracted them to maybe focus a bit more attention in Malaysia. And they're definitely very keen to meet more entrepreneurs here and hear their stories and see if they can come in and value add to these guys.
Mm. That's just good news for Malaysian entrepreneurs.
Absolutely, yeah. Success begets success, right? You've got a company like this, and they've got one third of $45 million US dollars they're going to devote to this region. And they come in at the early stage, Jeff.
Yeah.
Up to Series A, and they invest between $500,000 to $1 million.
Wow.
Now you may say $1 million isn't Series A. Yes, but remember they co-invest. They are not the only investors. Mm. Like you've seen some of the news releases and the stories we do on DNA. Somebody gets investment, and normally there's two or three or four companies involved, right?
Yep.
And that makes up the lump sum. So these guys, on their own, they'll put in between $500,000 US to $1 million US.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting times for the ecosystem. I remember a few weeks ago, we talked about how Mark Chang, once his sale is executed, he's putting in, I forgot, was it $15 million US or $10 million US of his own money as a starters, right?
Yeah.
Start doing the same thing. So it's a great time to be an entrepreneur if you have a very good idea and you've got a great team that can execute.
Mm. All right. Now, before we end the show, reading list for this week.
Ah, yes. I think that Edwin wrote an interesting story. He went for a press conference by TNS, which is a survey company, and is sponsored by Google. It's called the Consumer Barometer Malaysia Singapore and South Korea, Hong Kong, China too. There are five countries they featured, and they said that Malaysia, Singapore, Korea, as well as China and Hong Kong actually lead the world in terms of smartphone usage.
Wow.
And then of course Google's making a big push to mobile, and then the country manager for Malaysia said that businesses must have a mobile-first mentality or they risk being shuttered, closing down.
Mm.
So quite dire warning there. So, Sajid, this is Sajid Sivanandan, I think, who said this. So you can read the article, quite interesting, lots of data points there too if you're interested in very fresh, you know, a survey that was done on this region.
All right.
No infographic there though, and I'm thinking there's no picture of a sexy clad, you know, male or female to go along with it.
We got to speak to Asohan about that.
Yes.
I've been speaking to Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.